that's a wrap on week 5 in the books. I'm Matt Grissom, joined as always by the rest of the Insiders crew, Smitty, Q, and Nick. And go check out Chinook Cedary. Use Insiders 10 for 10% off, as well as Home Field Apparel, our presenting sponsor for our show. Home Field Apparel, the best in collegiate apparel. Home Field, Insiders 10, also gets you 10% off every order. That out of the way, Q, rest in peace to the Florida Gators. Is the season over?
I don't know. I mean, last year, 500 ball, and you end up in the semis and in-law. So I'm not going to jump ship yet. But I'll tell you what was frustrating was seeing Liam and Aiden King throw really well against a stout Tennessee lineup, and just the offense completely hangs them out to dry. That was pretty frustrating.
Nick, how do you feel?
Yeah, obviously feel good. I mean, God, what am I supposed to say? Like, this isn't – there's no reason, like, brag or anything. It just was one of those where it's like you kind of saw what Tennessee is, where it's like they can – they're one of those that can hang around with anybody and they can explode at any point. Like, Florida, that they give up 9 runs in that 7th inning on Saturday, but it's not like they made 2 or 3 errors. They didn't walk a ton of people or hit a ton of people. It was just like single, single, double, bomb, single, walk, bomb. And it was like just – that just happens with an offense like that. And it's going to be hard to contend with all year. And what I was most impressed with was obviously, like, people were talking about, like, what are they going to do on kind of Saturdays and Sundays. I think they made a real statement Saturday. And then Nate Snead is – if they're going to use him like that, that's the best closer in the country. So where he can throw 2 2/3 on Friday and be 98 to 100, and he could still have an inning left in him on Sunday and still be same. I think Friday night when he finished it was like his 42nd pitch was at 99 miles an hour. Tough to beat that. So if they get a lead, like, I think, like, he kind of controls things.
He's going to be the Brandon Neely of 2025, like 90 innings as a reliever.
Smitty. No, you don't really have a team yet, but I'm assuming you're going to be buying an Alabama Crimson Tide t-shirt.
No, not really. Maybe. No, my takeaway again with that was, you know, Tennessee, like Nick said, they're very explosive. I thought Florida, you know, at times they hunt in that game. And I mean, there was some, like Nick said, I mean, they exploded Saturday really late in the game and really opened that one up. Again, my one thing I'll say is, we laugh and we joke, the bullpens, it's never safe. You know, you're never out of a game, or if you have a lead, until there's 3 outs and the game is over, you can't feel too comfortable that you're going to win a bet or your team's going to win. So it's always entertaining. It's always a stressful weekend following your plays or your team, but it's what college baseball is. And that's why we love it so much. And we have a great time talking about it.
Yeah, Saturday, going into the 7th inning, it's 1-1, Tennessee-Florida game, and then run rule. Like
1-0. Oh, yeah, 1-0. Yeah.
Is it 1-0?
Yeah, completely.
Oh, that's right.
I think both Friday and Saturday went into, what, the 5th or later 1-0?
Yeah, because then it was – yeah, because I think it was like 2-2, right, at like in the 5th, and then I think Tennessee went like put up like 3 in like the 5th or 6th with like – it was – and the crazy thing there, and that's what I wanted to add on, because I touched on it Friday on our show, was like, what are these freshmen going to do? And it was literally Manny Marin double, and it was like Jay Abernathy single. It was Levi Clark had a huge double. And it's like, so it was like there was 4 freshmen that Tennessee was starting Saturday and Sunday, which is just kind of crazy, and they all performed. So even in the big moments, obviously Hunter Inslee, like, I'm sure it feels like one of those, like, if you're not a Tennessee fan, you have to – he's like that Aaron Kraft kind of like the baseball world, where it's like, if you're not a Tennessee fan, you're probably sick of hearing about him. Cause of course he comes up in a tie game and it's like a bases clearing double. And it's like, what, like he'll be 0-for-4 and all of a sudden a big hit happens and it's always his name on it. So it was good to see.
Then Virginia heading into the 9th, down 7-2 against Cal, end up winning that game with an 8-run 9, 10-8. I mean, just absolutely insanity. But they did drop, so they were number 9 in D1's top 25 poll. They go 3-1 over the weekend with a series win over Cal. They drop all the way down to number 23. Make that make sense. Four and a quarter shot floating in it all. Is Virginia,
I'll be honest,
that bad?
I don't know what D1 baseball does with their rankings. Like, the drops sometimes don't seem enough, or they seem just over dramatic, or they don't have the right team at the top and they refuse to admit, you know, any wrongdoing when statistically, analytically, reality, like anything you say, like Tennessee was a better team and last week not being number one is ridiculous. I don't know what to think of their rankings anymore.
Virginia was 23 last week as well for D1. They didn't drop at all.
Oh, their top 25 page still says March 3rd. That's what I was looking at.
Yeah, they were 23rd, state 23rd.
There you go.
Okay. There you go. I even looked at them too. I was like, wait.
So they're ninth if you click on the top 25 tab on D1.
Okay, I was like, there's no way. I was like, there's no way they were still ninth. That's
throwing me off.
Yeah, me too. I was like, there's no way they're still ninth after the last couple weeks.
So Tennessee takes over top spot. What were you saying, Q?
There's a team sitting here, and I actually think they're maybe getting a little undervalued here. Stanford only being at 14 is a little odd to me. And nothing to take away from Tennessee. Like, if we were to pick, you know, a team of the week, it's going to be Tennessee. But I'll tell you what, a team creeping up is Stanford, quietly on the West Coast. They handle business. Doesn't matter if they're on the East Coast or West Coast. I mean, just the way they manhandled Duke all weekend long, and then they came, you know, over to the East Coast and handled business last week against North Carolina. That's a team at 35-1 buy-in now because it's only going to get better.
We talked about that yesterday on the phone, Q. Yeah. Stanford.
Like, Tennessee's getting all the cred for sweeping Florida, but if there's another team behind them, it's definitely the Stanford Cardinals.
And scoring runs, that's a team that is really mashing the ball too. Mm-hmm. You know, and I looked at some stats last night, like looking down, that's another Sunday team for maybe the overs. 15, 7, 14, 14, 25 on some Sunday games. So that's kind of – it's like the MAC action on Tuesday in football. You got to love it right there, man. I love it. So I like these teams. I got some more teams I'll throw out looking at some numbers last night. But we had that conversation yesterday on the phone. Stanford, you know, pretty good pitching, and they mash. And that freshman
– hockey bombs.
Yeah, finally hit his first two. I mean – if he gets it going and hitting the ball, they have a couple guys in that lineup that can really hit the ball out of the ballpark. So that's a dangerous team.
A lot has been made of March Madness having, 14 SEC teams in the field. It's kind of a common trend here for the top 25 to be ridden with SEC teams. I think we've got 11 in there right now. A&M falling out, Mississippi State, other than getting swept. I think they were – flirting right there with the top 25. Kentucky's another team that I think is still pretty good despite losing the series to Georgia. What do you guys make of the SEC taking the top four spots here in the polls? Are they the four best teams?
I don't know about Georgia. If I had to say, like, one team's out, it's them. Obviously, they're the fourth seed out of the top four, but I could see somebody stepping up into there. I think it just goes to tell you the SEC is just dominant, not only basketball, but baseball. There was kind of the narrative that the ACC was going to maybe take that threshold this year. I don't see it. But I also think the SEC is also going to hurt themselves. They're just so talented. They're just going to beat each other up and hand each other losses while other teams just kind of run through the lower tiered teams in their conference. And it sucks because it's good quality baseball on paper. A loss is a loss, and that's what's going to happen and kind of screw some of these teams come tournament time.
So, Nick, Tennessee takes over number one. Like I said, when is their first loss come? They've got East Tennessee State this week, and then they go to Tuscaloosa. Do you think that's when they get their L?
So, okay, hear me out. I wouldn't be shocked if they lose tomorrow night. ETSU is going to take this very serious. It's one of those where it's about an hour and a half northeast of downtown Knoxville. It's all the kids that weren't recruited to Tennessee, but obviously usually wanted to go there. Like, obviously Knoxville is a hotbed for talent. So the people who weren't good enough to go to Tennessee, because now they're bringing in wherever kids from South Dakota and California and Arizona are all coming in starting. So this is one of those, like, ETSU can mash as well. I think they're third in the country in home runs right now. And now coming into Lindsey Nelson Stadium, the weather is supposed to be very nice. It should be opposite of this weekend against Florida. Wind was blowing in all weekend. It should be blowing out from what I'm looking at. And then Tennessee, if you think about it, they just swept Florida, didn't really tax the bullpen a whole lot. And knowing Tony, he's going to probably try to throw seven or eight guys tomorrow, which means he's going to start. It's going to be like a different pitcher per inning. And then they start, they go to Alabama. They will travel Wednesday for it because they start the series on Thursday. I know they're 20-0 and it's cool to stay undefeated. I don't think Tony cares about that at all. I think he cares more about like what happens Thursday, Friday, Saturday at Alabama. So it's going to be, I wouldn't be shocked if it's tomorrow when they lose their first one. But I do think I'll still take Tennessee over the weekend. I still think Tennessee beats Bama like 2-1 in the series. So either way, I think they lose their first one this weekend or this week at some point.
Sitting at plus 500 at DraftKings to win it all. Circa hung plus 650 after the weekend. That was the best number I could find. I did go ahead and bet it. I just want to get that out there. They were down as low as plus 400 on Bet Rivers and Oaklawn here in Arkansas. I just – looking at their schedule, it's at Alabama, at South Carolina, and then they get A&M, Kentucky, Auburn, Vandy at home. Their only other road games that they may drop a game. I don't think they lose a series. It at LSU, at Arkansas, maybe one game. I mean, we're realistically looking at, what, a 55-win team?
It's tough to say no.
How many did they win in 22? I forget.
57, and then won 60 last year.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Because 22, they won SEC at 25-5, I think is what it was.
So yeah, lost one series to
Kentucky. So they'll push that, but I don't know. It just seems so competitive this year where it's like, I wouldn't be shocked if like 22 or 23 games wins this league just because it's so crazy. Like it's going to be hard to sweep, even though we saw somehow four of them this week.
Darren Williams, if you're in here, didn't you close out that series? If I'm not mistaken, I think you did.
I think so.
I think you did.
So looking at the SEC series pick 'em here, I'm the king of the SEC. Nick did some rough math in the beginning, and it was Smitty. So that's the second time now we've had to go to
this. You're going to see this. He did this last year.
Challenge board.
Yes.
He crowned me, and then like 6 hours later, he's like, oh, scoring error.
Yep. I even went back and looked at the tweet he sent out because I was like, okay, I have some time today, so I'll go ahead and do the math for everybody. And it literally said 1 point for getting the series right, and 3 points if you get it exact. So I was like, okay, so you get one for getting it right and then three for getting exact.
I like that, Nick. It was a great system. It's a great system.
It's week one of it. Calm down. It's going to change.
Hey, I was at work and I had 15 on mine. And when you said 20, I was like, well, that sounds better. Let's go. I'll take 20. Thanks.
Yeah,
no, so it's 3 points. I think. Yeah. 3 points if you get the series right with the exact result.
Three instead of one. Just
pick the right side. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get it.
16 points. The biggest surprise to me, I think, was definitely Mississippi State, Texas. That was one I just got completely wrong. I thought Mississippi State could actually sweep them. Texas looks to be legit, though.
Well, I think we said the other night that was really Texas, if I'm correct on this, their true road game, I think, of the year, going on the road there. So, yeah, I was too. But, you know, you really look at that. I looked last night. That's two straight weekends. You know, Santa Clara was a week before. They gave up a total of 6 runs in that weekend series. Mm-hmm. They only gave up 11 this past week. So the pitching's just fantastic right now for Texas. So,
yeah,
that was surprising.
I will say there, I think Texas's issue is the bullpen. So I think it actually helped them that the two games on Sunday were both 7 innings. Because you had like they were able to use Belantis like out of the pen on Friday and then use Belantis again to kind of close out that second game Sunday. So it's one of those, like, that's still to be seen. But obviously I picked Texas to win it, but I didn't think it was going to be in that fashion. I think Mississippi State's better than what they played, but they're just – you guys can tell me. I don't know how much eyes you got on this, but they look like a Vandy type of offense where it's like, where's the power going to come from?
That last year. Everything was Hunter Hines. And
it was Hunter Hines or nothing. Yeah, and or what's his name last year with that? But he slumped the second half of the year. I can't think his name.
I know you're talking about
Jordan. Yeah.
Dakota Jordan.
Yeah. It was like those two are nobody. And it seems like this year it's like Hunter Hines is hitting about his weight. So now it's like, where does that come from? And Texas made him pay.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, you guys touched on that one. I'll say LSU kind of skating by Missouri at home is a little suspect. But yeah, I say that as a Florida Gator fan that got swept last year by him on the road. But Missouri, like, they're worse than last year. No Logan Lunsford, missing some other key guys. And LSU kind of had some scare there for a minute. At one point, Missouri led the Friday game, like, for the first three innings. It's that was a little shocking to me. And then just of note, Oklahoma, Cam Johnson exiting the game after, what, like 10 pitches, 9 pitches?
9 pitches, yeah. 9
pitches is just something to kind of keep an eye on. I don't want to steal the rest of the series.
Yeah, they were. So I can just report just real quick. They said there was something like before the game, they said he was already feeling like some – they did – like I texted you guys, I was like, I wonder if he's feeling soreness. And they reported afterwards that his bullpen didn't go very well. Like, he just didn't feel good. And it was like halfway between just like soreness, like body aches. So I don't know if he's like sick or what, but that's why he just like didn't even, they immediately just were like, okay, we're not going to risk anything here. Cause they had already like, it was 1-1 at that point.
Yeah.
So they were just like, yeah, we're like, why risk our Sunday starter? So yeah, I don't think it's anything long-term from what that sounds like, but yeah, that was a weird situation.
That was another bullpen game. Nice bullpen there by South Carolina later in that. So,
and then
it was great when you had Oklahoma, baby.
Yeah, well, I had him in that, but I actually played. I played South Carolina. I was on. And what Vanderbilt bullpen? Same thing yesterday.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Auburn looks like,
speaking of bullpens, Georgia, Kentucky. Good God.
Yeah. That's going to be a Saturday, Sunday over team.
I could have literally just been throwing the ball, like batting practice, and the score probably would have been pretty close to the same in that one.
are we that surprised that Texas A&M gets swept by Alabama?
I said it on the show. I kind of was. I thought this would, they'd at least get one, and this was kind of that series they'd wake up and really be like, hey, we are athletic. We're talented. We can do this, especially at home. And boy, was I wrong. I mean, I feel so bad for Ryan Prager. The guy should have just went to the draft and made money. Like, what a miserable way to come back to. I thought the starters pitched really well. Bama kind of struggled against the starters.
Bullpen, ninth inning, yep.
I mean, Gavin Cash, like, guy's a ghost. Jace LaValle, you know, LaViolette, like, those guys aren't doing anything. Caden Ken is literally the only guy on the offensive side of the ball doing anything.
And the freshman, too. And that freshman outfielder is, like, leading the team in hits.
You can't tell me, like, Caden Sorrell is that instrumental in this offense that they can't function without him. I mean, there's just so much talent. This is a joke. And, you know, really not trying to come in Mike early, but I think we're starting to see, like, maybe he's in over his head. I think Texas A&M panicked and hired him based on what the players wanted. And things aren't working out right now. There's no fire on the team. There's no emotion, no passion. They're going up there, striking out with the bats on their shoulders, and they walk back like it is what it is, and that's a problem. That's a locker room issue, and it's got to be adjusted.
Yeah, offense, six runs. I mean, over the – and, you know, you look at it, 0 runs, 2, 4. They did break out for 14 one game, but that was against – I can't remember who that was against.
Prairie View.
I think Rice.
Prairie View, yeah. Prairie View. And then one run before, you know – after that. So it's just, the offense is just shocking. And, you know, I thought they were going to wake up this series, and I took them Friday night and Saturday. And again, you know, they came back, it was a bullpen, you know, blew it in the late innings again, grand slam the one night. And it's just,
Well, it's going to, they get at Vanderbilt this weekend. That's
I mean, at this point, I can tell you Vanderbilt can't beat them.
the freaking unders, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, Vandy's nothing to write home about on offense.
Yeah, I'll just touch on it quick, like, because I'll just be like, Q and Smitty said basically everything about it. The weird thing is, it really is like, you thought if anything, like with early, like even if he's like being a move to head coach, like their offense should still be, he's been a hitting coach and has had success everywhere. Like there's a reason he got this head coaching job. Like he killed the Indiana, then at Arizona State, and then at A&M. So it's weird. And it's like, you can only put so much on a coach at some point. The players have to take it. Like Jace LaViolette, if anybody thought he was going to be hitting 240 right now with, I think he has what, 3 home runs. And it's like, yeah, that you're going to lose when you're superstars like that. And then you lose Gavin Grahovic, who was supposed to also carry you. Caden Sorrell, I know, he shouldn't be the end-all, be-all, but that was still a third-team All-American last year. Caden Kent was never supposed to be your, like, offensive stalwart. Like, he's a better defender than he is on offense. So it's just weird things are happening. And it's like, you feel bad for, yeah, I mean, Brian Prager dominated on Friday, Justin Lampkin dominated Saturday, Miles Patton dominated Sunday. And then it's like bullpen. And I think it's one of those where it's like, you could feel when Will Hodo hit that like grand slam in the 8th on Saturday. It was one of those like, why? Like, are we just like having bad luck? Like, why does this keep happening to us?
It's a kill shot
type of thing. Yeah. It was one of those where it's like, okay, like if they thought they had energy, now it's like, what do we do now? So it's one of those where it's, until they win a couple games like in a row, I think it's going to be like, it's going to be hard sailing. And I think I heard, and I'll mention our 11.7 like friends. Like it was either Ben Upton. I think he was the one that said it. It was like, this team reminds me so much of Florida from last year, where it was like, they're just so, so talented, but you could see them sneaking in as like a 3 seed somewhere just because they end up winning enough SEC series. And then all of a sudden it's like the talent just like clicks. Or like Jace LaViolette hits 600 in the tournament, like Jack Caglione did last year, and just carries them.
And that's literally what I was about to ask.
It's very similar, like vibes. It's very, very weird because the starting pitchers will keep them in it. Like they're too good; they're never going to get blown out just because their starting pitcher are so good.
For them to go in 5 weeks from number one consensus to now out of the top 25, that. At what point do we say, well, wait a second. I know they're sitting at 10-9, but this team is still super talented. And you look at a team like Florida last year, who was barely above 500. They get into the tournament. They make noise. They upset Oklahoma State. They make it to Omaha. I mean, this has the makings of that same type of feel.
Yeah.
So here's my only counter is Florida's starting pitching last year sucked. The reason they were so good is they had Jameson Fisher and Brandon Neely to actually close the game out. A&M doesn't have that. Like, they had it last year. This year, they can get a 7 strong innings, and then they don't have anybody to get them across the finish line. And I think that's the glaring issue, is because you don't have that Neely or that Fisher that can come in and throw, you know, or the Snead who can come in and throw 3 innings and get you there. Like, hey, if we put up 3 runs, we can still win this game. A&M doesn't have that luxury this year. Somebody's got to step up or they're not going to make it.
But I think that's the same. You know, you say, okay, you've got 3 starters that can go give you 6 or 7 innings. You got to rely on the offense. I mean,
you got to get those final 3 outs.
If you get a 4 or 5 run lead going into the 7th.
Yeah, no, that makes
sense. Pressure's off a little bit of that bullpen. To have to pitch immaculately like Prager and Patton and Lampkin are doing,
it's going to wear them out.
Yeah, think how bad like Neely was part of Florida's issues at times last year, whereas like they couldn't close games, and all of a sudden it's like when the lights kind of became bright in that last half of the month, it was like, okay, here's who we expected. Like Texas A&M has those arms in the back end of their bullpen. It's just like it's one of those weird things. They come in, they're throwing 97, 99 and look extremely talented.
Just down the middle.
Yeah. But it's like you make one mistake in this league and like you get punished for it.
Yeah.
Well, pretty good slate this coming weekend. We've got number 2, LSU taking on Texas. not, I don't think it's as star studded as far as top 25 matchups like this past weekend was, but you guys know we'll have all the breakdowns and everything come Thursday, Friday. You guys have anything else before we wrap it up?
I will touch on one thing just to kind of get out of the SEC a little bit. I think it's cool to see everybody's concerned about what it was going to look like with all the kind of realignment stuff. And now you look at Texas won a series at Mississippi State. Oklahoma won the series at South Carolina. Arizona State went to TCU, won that one. Arizona swept Cincy in their first one. Oregon in the Big Ten is 6-0. UCLA in the Big Ten is 5-1. I think USC is 5-1. So some of these, like real Stanford, obviously you already mentioned Stanford. Stanford's 5-1 and could be the best team in the like ACC, depending on what Florida State ends up being or Clemson. So I think it's just really cool to see like how broad this we call it top heavy right now because it is, but it's like top heavy in the top 10. And then it seems like there's a big gap, but it's cool to see like all this realignment and the teams that have been realigned really making early season statements.
I'll say real quick, keep an eye on the Big Ten with runs. You know, you look at Ohio State, they give up a ton. Oh, I mean, God, looking at numbers, they just give up a ton of runs.
Yeah.
Maryland, Indiana. You look at the totals there, especially on Sundays. That's great. Hey, can I ask, does Minnesota play at home this week at all? Because we want to keep an eye on that, because that's a lot of fun. Ugly stadium, ball must fly. That AC must be just gunning in that stadium. I love it, man. The Big Ten, where you come to hit the ball and score a lot of runs. There you go. There's the new commercial.
That's it.
Nick, are you in an archaeological museum right now?
No, I'm in my aunt and uncle's bedroom. So normally I like try to record in like the living room.
Okay, it's a bed frame.
Yeah.
It's like bone.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe
an animal kingdom.
Yeah. All right. I had to get that in before we leave. We'll be back later on this week. Until then, we'll be posting some midweek plays, I'm sure, if you're a member of the clubhouse. If not, go join. We had another successful, profitable weekend. So until the show to preview week 6, we'll see you later.